This audio program may contain descriptions of violence and topics that may not be suitable for everyone. Please listen with caution.
Do you know what the most frightening thing in the world is? It's fear.
I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Why, she wouldn't even harm a fly.
Guess so.
Okay. Finally. I know, we're finally here.
It's right? All happening.
After our, like, 2 weeks off, mm-hmm. Unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. It was going to be a week.
It was.
But, we're bad happens. At this?
Yeah, that would probably be the best explanation. We're just not good at this?
No, we're terrible.
Sorry. No one told us we were going to have to be good at this.
So, we are currently in a closet.
Yes.
In Tennessee.
A lot of people are in the closet in Tennessee.
Yes, well, you know, just being thrown back
in
one.
We're not the only ones, yeah.
So, we moved to Nashville, as some people know.
Yep.
And the last 2 weeks, we've just been moving in, driving down here. Yep. Setting up our place, all that good stuff.
So tiring.
Yes. Very, very tiring. And today's been like our first day of being able to do anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what we're doing.
I've right been to Target
now.
1,000 times.
Yes, so many Target runs. Shout out to Target.
Yeah, they probably love us there already.
Yeah,
I've
right.
spent like $1,000 at Target in the last
Do they
week.
Want to sponsor us? Because that would be
that
wonderful.
Would be great.
So in honor of our move, we're doing like a really specific topic today, which is Tennessee murders.
Yes.
Because that's where we are right now. So any listeners from Tennessee, this is your time.
Yeah, because the best thing to do when you move to a place is to research all the murders that have happened around you.
Yes, that's what we like to
Safety.
Do. Safety and security.
It's our number one.
Yep. So I cannot for the life of me remember who went first last time.
I don't
time.
Even remember what the topic was.
I believe it was camp murders.
I think I went first.
Yeah,
because I
think
did the Girl
did.
Scouts.
Okay. So then I'll go first.
Yeah, and fuck them if we're wrong.
Yeah, right?
How about that?
This is a new era. So I'm going to tell you about Thomas D. Husky.
Okay.
Also known as Zoo Man. And it is Thomas D.E.E. Husky.
Oh.
So it is also Thomas D. period Husky. It's
like,
both.
Like Billy. There's a person running
oh
for
God.
Office down here called
it's one
Billy,
name. His name
but it's
is Billy.
B-I-L-L. Yeah. And then his last name is Lee. L-E-E. But he is not Asian.
No.
He is super white. Like in my mind, this might be racist, but I assumed that he's probably some other ethnicity besides white because white people don't really have the last name Lee.
I feel like it seeped into white people, you know? Like, white people just took it.
Yeah.
Like, they take everything.
Yeah.
So.
Thank God I'm not white.
We are white, but we are considered the lowly whites.
Yeah.
On the scale of white. Mm-hmm. So, Thomas D. Husky was born in 1960 in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. That's where Dolly
Yep, Dollywood. Is. Hey, shout out. Would they like to sponsor us as well?
Right? We do want to go to Dollywood.
Yeah. And also, I want to marry Dolly.
Yeah. Who does?
I know she's married, but I'll be with her and
Big
her husband.
Big of me. So, Husky's father, Frank Husky, worked with animals for a living and eventually took a job tending to the elephants in the Knoxville Zoo.
Huh.
Very little is known about Husky's life prior to the 1990s when he began assisting his father at the zoo and landed a job of his own there. He also worked with tigers, apparently.
Oof, too bad one didn't eat him.
Yeah, before all this went down. By the time he was in his late 20s, Husky had been married and subsequently divorced and had 2 children. By 1990, Husky had created quite a reputation for himself. The 30-year-old frequently hired sex workers and would usually take them to secluded areas of the zoo to have sex.
Look, there's nothing wrong with frequently hiring sex workers.
No.
Or taking them to the zoo, as long as that's as weird as it gets.
Yes.
I mean, we all have our kinks.
I feel like it would be kind of cool, though. It's like, ooh, you get to go on the zoo. Yeah,
if someone was like, hey, I work at the zoo. We can go there after hours. That would be
awesome.
As a sex worker, you're like, yes, spice it up. I don't want to go to a dirty motel.
Exactly.
I want to see the tigers.
Yeah, and it's like all to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
It's very private. I like it. Among the local sex workers, Husky was known as Zoo Man. He was never shy about telling the women he hired about his profession and would boast about his position.
Hey, ladies.
I do the elephants.
I work at the zoo. Oh, great. You're smelly and sweaty.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that's what that smell is.
You know what? I charge extra for people who work at the zoo.
Yeah. Oh, should have just kept your mouth shut. Could you imagine he's like trying to impress a woman and he's just like, do you know how many of my limbs I can fit in an elephant's butthole?
It's just, when men try to impress women, it always doesn't work.
Wait, tell about that guy.
There's a guy I was talking to online, and we were talking about music, and he, like, asked me about my favorite band. I don't know what I said. I was like, I like all music, whatever.
It's hard to pick.
And he was like, I was like, so what about you? What's your favorite band? And he answered back, and he said, have you ever heard of the band Nirvana?
What the fuck? Ridiculous.
Are you absurd? And I was just like, either he is the dickest dick I've ever met, or he's stuck in the 90s, in which case he's going to be so sad when he
finds out how it ends.
Yeah. He's going to be real devastated. I should just tell him. I wanted to be like, have you heard of the Beatles? I am so in love with them. Ringo, best one. Ringo. Am I right?
Guys, ugh. My God.
He should have been like, what's that, a candy?
Yeah, right.
Although Austin wanted me to send him a picture of a shirt that we both find hilarious.
Yeah, we need to get that shirt. Like when we go to bars, Jewel match and just have that weird shirt.
It's a picture of Hanson and underneath it is Nirvana.
Yep. And it's weird because they're all like blonde. Yeah, you know? Yeah. It's great. We need to get it. So Husky, many of the women came to fear him because of his violent streak. Soon, some sex workers refused to work with him altogether. The area where Husky took these women was remote and could only be accessed by back roads off of the main interstate.
Yeah, that's probably not great for a sex worker to go down.
No. Apparently, the area was full of, like, old mattresses and used condoms.
Ew.
Yeah, because that was, like, a frequent spot.
Old mattresses, gross.
And used, that's the gross part. Because of the stigma against sex workers and the law, Husky got away with his abusive treatment of several women for years. In February of 1992, an unnamed woman went to the Knoxville police and reported that a man had assaulted and robbed her in the woods. She showed detectives where the assault had occurred, and coincidentally, Husky was present and was in the middle of having sex with a woman.
What? That's crazy.
She was like, that's his car.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
He was arrested for the woman's assault, and police urged other women who had been assaulted by him to come forward, but all ultimately declined, and Husky was set free.
The woman he was caught with that time, he was just having sex with.
Yes.
Okay.
It's really weird because the policeman who found them was like,
we'll let you finish.
What? We'll let you finish. That would be funny. No, he was like, yeah, you know, he had this little girl naked on her knees. And I was like,
little girl.
Don't call her a little girl.
Yeah, unless don't it's do actually that. A it's little
not,
girl.
It was not a little girl.
During sexual talks,
call her a little girl.
You shouldn't call someone a little girl anyway.
No, that's weird.
This little girl.
Oh, no. So Husky was set free. Many believe that this marked a change in his behavior.
Yeah, well, now he's going to off them.
Yeah. Because, you know, now he's learned that you can't have witnesses.
Yep.
Months later, on October 20th, 1992, a hunter found a woman's body on Cahaba Lane, the same road where Husky had been arrested. The victim was 32-year-old Patricia Rose Anderson, who was pregnant at the time of her murder. She had been bound, raped, and strangled before her killer had concealed her body under an old mattress. Just days later, a second body was found, that of Patricia Ann Johnson.
Wait, were they both named Patricia?
Yeah, they're both Patricias. Isn't that weird? Followed by the discovery of Darlene Smith's corpse, and finally the bones of Susan East Stone.
The bones?
Yes. Jeez. All of the victims had been raped and strangled to death, and all were found naked. Obviously, the bones were naked. I'm sorry. I thought that was weird.
They were full dressed.
Yes, that would be very weird. Three out of the four women had criminal records relating to sex work and would have been familiar with the location. No witnesses could be convinced to come forward. Investigators remembered the man who had been arrested but never convicted of assault in the same spot and tipped off homicide detectives. When they went to investigate Husky's parents' mobile home in, I think it's Sevier County, Tennessee, they recovered rope that matched the kind used to bind the victims. They also discovered several pieces of jewelry that had belonged to some of the women. Husky was arrested on site. In November of 1992, detectives weren't getting anywhere with Husky. Their interviews with him failed to bring about new evidence or insight until Husky was left alone in the interrogation room for a few moments.
Uh-oh.
When the detective, Davenport, that's his name, returned to interview Husky further, he was presented with an entirely new personality. Husky claimed to be a man named Kyle, a quick-tempered, coarse, and violent bully who said that he hated Tommy, Thomas Husky.
Yeah.
Husky, as Kyle, spoke of the enjoyment he gained from torturing and raping women. He called his acts experiments and even wrote using his right hand as opposed to Husky, who was left-handed.
Hmm.
Kyle confessed to all four murders in great detail, though some of these details were inaccurate. Davenport believed that Husky was putting on an act, even as several other personalities made appearances. One was named Dax, with two X's, and spoke with a British accent. Another was Timothy, who was also male but had an effeminate way about him. Davenport never believed the personalities could be real and was quoted as saying about Dax, "He had the voice down pretty good." The accent. The emergence of these personalities gave Husky's defense team a crucial opening. If Husky was, in fact, mentally ill and suffering from dissociative identity disorder, DID, formerly known as multiple personality disorder, then he could be acquitted by reason of insanity. Investigators did not believe that Husky was mentally ill. They presented theories that Dax, the British personality, had been cobbled together from a character from a soap opera that Husky had watched while in jail. His other personalities seemed to mirror street names around where he had grown up in East Knoxville.
Wait, they mirrored street
names? Yeah, like
name?
Kyle Street or Kyle Road.
Oh, okay, the names. Yeah. I thought they meant the personalities themselves.
No, they're...
I was like what? Like, give an example.
This street is like really Happy just... Street? Yes. Like, the stakes were raised when prosecutors decided to seek the death penalty.
Oof.
Yes. Husky's first trial centered around the kidnappings and rapes that had been committed before the murders. By 1996, Husky had been convicted of several counts and would serve 64 years of prison time. In 1999, the murder trial began. It was moved from Davidson County to Knox County because of the years of publicity the case had received in the area.
We live near Davidson County.
Yeah, well, that's Nashville. So,
well, no, that's Williams.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, we're in Williams.
Oh, we're in
Williams.
I don't know anything.
Which is also Davidson is Knox. It's like Knoxville, right above us.
Yeah.
I looked at a map.
Okay. Well, that makes sense because the jury was bussed in from Nashville.
Gotcha. That does make sense. Yes.
Crowds filled the courtroom to watch the trial unfold. Mental health experts testified on both sides about the authenticity of Husky's DID, with the defense's witnesses claiming that the disorder was rooted in trauma Husky had suffered when he was a boy after being raped by an older woman named Connie. The jury deliberated for 5 days but remained deadlocked. A mistrial was declared on February 13, 1999. The jury members, with no verdict to show for their time and effort, boarded a bus back to Nashville. They passed a bottle of wild turkey around on the ride. The prosecution of Thomas D. Husky cost the state of Tennessee over $200,000. The case continued until late 2005.
Jeez.
When it was discovered that over a decade before, the warrant used to search Husky's home had been flawed.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The murder charges against Husky were dismissed. Husky was eligible for parole in April 2015, but no news outlets reported on the outcome. So I don't know whether he's in jail or did not
yeah. get out.
An old billboard marks the spot where Husky murdered four women and brutalized countless others. It is still visible from I-40.
Jeez.
Right?
That's crazy. Isn't it? He got off.
Well, that's like every article I looked at was like Tennessee's first serial killer got away with murder.
Wow.
I thought that was so interesting. Also, the zoo part.
Yeah, the zoo part's weird, but I mean, I guess.
The zoo part, the possible personality disorder.
Like, it makes, the personality thing is weird because it's like, is he or isn't he?
Yeah.
You will never know.
Well, I mean, so some people debate the existence of dissociative identity disorder at all.
Oh, no, it's totally true. It's crazy.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, back then, I'm sure it was like, what?
Yeah, it was like, oh, this, like, but it makes sense that, oh, you're getting arrested and you might try to pretend to be crazy. And that's the craziest thing
you can think of.
But
yeah. I also thought, like, as someone who's about to go into law school, I was like, can you imagine being the person that wrote that warrant? And you just mess up one thing, like one word, punctuation, some stupid little thing like
that. It's flawed, and then the whole thing gets thrown out.
And a serial killer goes free.
And I'm also curious about the details he got wrong, because you said he told, like, what, were they big details? Were they like, oh, yeah, and I think she was wearing a red dress, and she was wearing, like, a purple dress?
I think it was little details.
Yeah. Or was it like, oh, I stabbed her 50 times, and it's like, actually, she was stabbed twice.
Yeah, or she was strangled.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't find those details. I even, like, looked at the, like, the case file about it, but I couldn't find any of that. Yeah. Huh. So, I mean, he could be on parole.
He could be. He could be out and about.
Yep.
Ready for anything.
We do not know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's gonna get worse from here.
Oh, God.
I did the case of Shannon Christian and Christopher Newsom Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Also, sometimes people reported Christopher's name as Hugh Christopher Newsom, because I think his first name is technically Hugh, but everyone called him Chris or Christopher.
Okay, so he went by his middle name.
Yes. Okay. On the evening of January 6th, 2007, Shannon Gale Christian, 21, and Christopher Newsom, Jr., 23, were in their vehicle in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Ooh, another Knoxville.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were driving down Chipman Road when Christina's vehicle was carjacked. The next few hours of the young couple's life would be pure torture.
Mm.
Shannon and Chris were out to dinner that night, after which they were supposed to head over to some friends. When they didn't arrive to the friend's house, no one was too concerned. They thought maybe the couple decided to go home or, you know, whatever, go see a movie by themselves. They didn't really know. But the next morning, when neither of them arrived home, their parents began to worry. So the police were notified. And Shannon and Chris officially became missing persons.
Mm-hmm.
That afternoon, Chris's body was found near the railroad tracks. But Shannon was nowhere to be found.
Mm.
And her parents feared that, of course, she was dead too.
Mm-hmm.
The police pinged her cell phone, which led to her abandoned car being found. And inside the car, there was an envelope with fingerprints on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fingerprints belonged to LaMarcus Duvall Slim Davidson, known as Slim.
Slim.
Yes. What a great nickname. When they searched his home, Shannon's parents' fears were confirmed. Her body was found in a trash bin covered in sheets.
Oh, no. In sheets?
Yeah.
So her sheets?
No, no, no. Just in...
Just random sheets?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they were found in LaMarcus's...
Oh.
In Slim's home.
Mm-hmm.
In a trash bin. Covered in sheets, like, to cover it up. Mm-hmm. Or the sheets were underneath her and he just stuffed her in. Both of them had died brutally. Chris was the first to die.
Mm-hmm.
He was raped and then shot. His body was then set on fire.
Wait, so he was raped by a man?
Anally raped.
Okay.
Then shot. Then his body was set on fire. Now, here's the thing. There's probably, say there's 50 stories about this.
Yes.
Half of them say that this is what I'm about to read is false.
Really?
Half of them say what I'm about to read is true.
Oh, God.
Some claim that he was found with his penis cut off.
No.
And he was mutilated.
No.
So I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
I cannot.
It's weird that it's like a 50-50
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, 50-50.
Huh.
Probably more like 60-40.
In favor of the cutoff? Okay.
But I can't tell if it's like someone just said it and then it was such a scandalized
thing
item
that it was like,
if we put this in, papers will sell.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon, just having witnessed that, was gang raped. Then she had cleaning supplies poured down her throat to, and I quote, erase the DNA that they left there.
So it's multiple people.
Multiple people. Mm-hmm. Multiple DNA was found.
Oh my God.
And so the autopsy said it's unclear if she had died of the deep lacerations sustained during the rape or from asphyxiation due to the cleaning products. Ugh. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Oh, no.
Her body was not set on fire, though.
Okay.
So when they found Chris by the railroads, they just found, like, charred bones.
Mm-hmm.
Five suspects were arrested and charged with the murders.
Mm.
LaMarcus Davidson,
mm-hmm.
along with his body, Latelvis Rome Cobbins, he was 24.
Mm-hmm.
George Giovanni Detroit Thomas, he was 27. Those three were all indicted. Indicted. Thanks, I wrote indicated. On a total of 46 counts.
Mm.
16 counts of felony murder. 2 counts of premeditated murder. 2 counts of especially aggravated robbery. 4 counts of especially aggravated kidnapping. 20 counts of aggravated rape. Mm. And 2 counts of theft.
So they think that it was premeditated.
Yes.
Okay.
Vanessa Coleman, who's 18,
mm-hmm.
was also indicted on a total of 40 counts. 12 counts of felony murder, 1 count of premeditated murder,
mm-hmm.
1 count of especially aggravated robbery, 4 counts of especially aggravated kidnapping, 20 counts of rape, 2 counts of theft.
Oh my gosh.
Eric Dwayne E. Boyd was 34.
Mm-hmm.
He was not indicted, but he did face federal charges only as an accessory after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, but they think he was there during it. And he just didn't do anything
to stop it.
But they can't prove it because his DNA isn't over.
Okay.
So he just helped dispose of the bodies. Mm-hmm. Boyd was convicted in federal court for being an accessory to the carjacking, as well as, you know, the bodies,
mm-hmm.
and was sentenced to only 18 years in prison.
Oof. That's less than the fucking guy I did. That's like,
yeah.
That's less than, you know, a quarter of it.
For this horrible, horrible
month. Yeah.
On the 25th of August in 2009, Latelvis Rome Cobbins was found guilty of multiple counts of first degree and felony murder in the death of Christian. That's the woman. That's her last name. But he opted lesser charges of just facilitating murder in the slaying of Newsom.
So he pled guilty.
So he pled guilty to the first one, but mm-hmm. then in the second one, he pled to a lesser charge.
Yeah.
He was also convicted of multiple charges of rape and kidnapping. And him and George Thomas ended up receiving a life sentence.
Good.
Vanessa Coleman was sentenced to 53 years in prison.
That's more like it.
Mm-hmm. On October 2009, LaMarcus Davidson, the guy who had the body,
mm-hmm.
was convicted of kidnapping, rape, and murder, and was sentenced to death.
Mm.
However, there's a twist.
Uh-oh.
Because in October of 2011, the judge at the original trial, Richard Baumgartner, fucking dick, was disbarred by the Tennessee Supreme Court after an investigation revealed that he had illegally purchased prescription pain pills from a convicted felon.
Oh my gosh.
And it showed that he was impaired at the time of the first trial.
Oh no. So he was high during that whole trial? Jeez.
So all of them were granted new trials.
Ugh.
Thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
In May 2012, the Tennessee Supreme Court vacated that ruling.
Okay.
Through appeals and all that stuff, eventually it resulted in retrials for Thomas and Coleman, but not for... So George Thomas and Vanessa Coleman,
mm-hmm.
they got retrials, but no one else did.
Okay.
In November 2012, Coleman was convicted a second time, but mm-hmm. on a lesser charge, and she was only resentenced to 35 years in prison, including time served. In May 2013... George Thomas was convicted a second time on all counts and given consecutive life sentences with an additional 25 years.
Oh, so my God.
He got two life sentences and they, 25 then they years. Added. So he got more than he had before.
Good.
So as of October 25th, 2014, Coleman has been eligible for parole, but has been denied. When she was originally up for parole, 50,000 people signed an online petition asking the Tennessee Board of Probation and Parole to deny her parole and keep her behind bars. Mm-hmm. So she keeps coming up for parole and they keep denying her. So I saved this for last and I don't know why, but in a few of the stories, it talks about how long it took for Shannon to die and that when she was being killed, either due to the deep wounds from the rape or the asphyxiation, chemicals. They had sliced off, they had tried to slice off her breasts.
No.
Save the best for last. Keep them coming for more.
And was there a motive?
No motive. And they had an envelope in their car. Mm-hmm. So, see, that's the thing I couldn't find. Basically, they saw them. They were on their way. It was in between the restaurant and their friend's house, mere miles.
Yeah.
These people saw them. Decided to carjack them, and that's where the envelope got his fingerprints on.
Yeah.
And then decided to just brutally murder them. And this is one of the first cases in Tennessee that people were up in arms because they said it should be tried as a hate crime. And that if these two people were black and the criminals were white, it would have been tried as a hate crime.
Oh, so it's the opposite?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But and a lot of the detectives think that's true, that it probably was like fuck these white people. Mm-hmm. But there's no proof that it was race-based.
Yes.
Because it was a robbery first and then a murder.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it was premeditated because as they were robbing them, they said, let's take them, kidnap them, and rob them.
Okay.
So that's why it's premeditated. But yeah, a lot of people are still like, this is a hate crime. And a lot of people, even like people from their town and people who knew them were like, yeah, it was probably just a fucking hate crime. Like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's crazy.
They were like these sweet-looking, adorable couple. And they were just, like, brutally murdered.
Yeah. Wow. Rough. Yeah, that's really rough.
And he was apparently shot, like, a bunch. Like, a buttload of times.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the scientific word for that.
A buttload.
A buttload.
Yes.
So.
You mean like an elephant buttload like, or a like human buttload? Like
probably as many hands as he could fit in an elephant's ass. That's how many times he was shot.
Have you ever seen the video of that elephant scooping the poop out of the other elephant's butt?
No, and I never will.
Okay. If that's something you're interested in, look it up. And then he eats it.
Ew.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah. But for my Tennessee, my original one, I almost did. There's this woman, and I feel so bad. And I told you about it.
The girl who
she was working in a drive-thru, and these just random people came up, shot her twice, fled.
Yeah, that was the one that's like close to where we live. Yeah,
that was like in this town. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Dangerous place.
The world is a dangerous place.
Yep.
I mean, in our news episode for last month and this month, because we're doing a 2-in-1.
Because we can do what we want, okay, people?
Because we were, you know,
we have busy lives.
Yes. Lots of New Jersey stuff, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, New Jersey is a fucked place.
New Jersey is for such a tiny place.
I told someone I was from New Jersey at the store, like, I don't know, like, a few days ago, and they were just like, oh, was it nice being so close to New York City? And I was like, you don't know what New Jersey is.
Yeah.
I was like, no one, that's not... This isn't...
We've yet to get anyone apologizing for 9/11.
Yeah, which people in the South love to apologize. Once you're like, I'm from up north.
So sorry.
I'm so sorry about 9/11. Thank you, me too.
Yes.
It'd be weird if you were like, you know, it really made me happy, but the rest of the world seemed to be upset by it.
Well, and I forgot to add this to our news episode, but I was telling you before that a guy from where you used to work who died in 9/11, they just found his remains, like, last week.
Jeez.
Isn't that terrifying?
It's...
Where were they?
It's so awful.
Yeah.
It's just how many remains are underneath that rubble, in that dirt, for the rest of their lives.
And well, we might not ever find
might
all
not ever
of
find
them.
No. It. Never.
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
It is.
It's just... This is a terrifying...
Place.
This world is a terrifying place. Beat me up, Scotty, please.
Yes. Well, so that's our first episode back.
Yeah. Tennessee. Because you guys are the only 10 I see.
Oh, no. We are now, what are we, Nashvillians? Nashvillians?
I don't. I'd that like sounds to be like Nashvillian. We're evil. Yeah.
Ruppy has a serious issue with the term Smashville.
Right. Because it's meant for their hockey team. Yes. Right? Which is a bad hockey team. But also, I guess because you smash people against the walls.
Smash,
but
yeah.
It's very sexual for a hockey team. Like, kids have shirts on that say Smashville, mm-hmm. which is not what...
It's not okay for kids?
Yeah. Does it not seem sexual if I was like, welcome to Smashville?
But you have a problem with the sexual aspect, not the violent aspect.
No, it's just the sexual one. Yes. Because, like... If that's the best you can come up with for your sports team, Smashville, mm-hmm. you're throwing in the towel real fast.
I love the place down here, Twin Peaks. That's like a Hooters.
Yeah, even though it makes me... I want it to be like Twin Peaks themed.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in Brooklyn, they have a Twin Peaks themed coffee shop.
Yes. I don't care. Boob, there's so many Hooters. I don't need to go to Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks.
And also, if I was like a mom... I wouldn't necessarily, like, Hooters, you know what you're getting into. Yes. But I guess down here maybe people do. But, like, it I saw that restaurant and I was like, that just kind of looks like like a burger place, Twin Peaks. It's not like it has, like, boobies on it or anything.
No, it has mountains.
It has mountains, but it's like a huge mountain range. It's not just, like, two pointy booby-shaped mountains.
Well, they're not booby-shaped, but I think it's two mountains.
Yeah, but there are background ones. Oh, are there? Little tiny ones.
So, we're adjusting. Yeah. Guys, we're having an adjustment period.
I've been driving on the wrong side of the road. Right? That's what happens when you go to South.
Yes. Okay. Our Southern accents are coming in. All that good stuff.
Mine really might come back, and that's really going to be a bad day for everyone involved.
For everyone. Yeah.
For my swamp accent to come out.
Well, we got to fight back. Stave off the swamp accent.
Yeah, just punch me in the face.
Well, that's it for today.
That's it. That's all she wrote.
You guys know the drill. I have one thing to plug. I released my book.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yes. Not that the book is great. The fact that it's been released is great. People have ordered it already, and I haven't even got my copies yet.
Yeah, well, nobody likes you. Order your book and let us know if it comes in before Austin's.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll like you a little bit more for it.
Yeah, it's called Witch Tips, two words. It's on Amazon and Kindle and paperback. The subtitle is The Essential Guide to Contemporary Witchcraft.
Yeah.
And it's a...
And it's only $700. Do you believe that, guys? $700.
What a deal. It's $13 paperback. It is $4 Kindle. If you buy the paperback, I believe you get a 99-cent Kindle copy. So you could always do that and have it on both. I think we linked it on our social media page.
I think so, yeah.
You know, we're Hell and High Horror on everything. Hell High Horror on Twitter. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we still have our Patreon going. We're recording our news episode now, as we said before. And I think that's all our business, right?
Yeah.
Reppy is Reparata Ann on everything.
Yep, I am. If you're in Tennessee, let us know.
We have
no friends.
Maybe
we'll hang out. We have no one except for each other. If you're really hot. I'm still very single.
If you have anyone to set Reppy up with.
I love a good blind date.
She knows who Nirvana is.
Look, here's the thing. I know who Nirvana is, and I could talk about two, maybe three of their songs. So, I'm pretty
quite a catch here.
You know what it is, too? It's not even that good of a band. Like, I hate to say it, but you can't understand them. Like, they're a great punk rock band, but that would be me being like, do you know who Green Day is? It's like, Green Day's fine and all, but it's not like you're being like, do you know who Beethoven is?
You're being super indie about it.
Yeah, it's like, you're being, the question itself is pretentious, but then it's also the band itself is pretentious.
I get it. I get what you're saying. I like Nirvana.
Guys. I do too. Yeah. It's just, I mean... It's just that everyone's heard of Nirvana.
It's true. It's a weird thing to ask someone if they've heard of.
Have you heard of cars? Yeah. It's so weird. You just drive them around. They take gas.
Have you heard of this new thing? It's called a pencil?
It's odd because you can write and write and write, but then you can also erase that writing.
Yes. What a magnificent creation. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my Lanta.
Okay, we will talk at you next week. Happy hauntings.
Happy hauntings.
Bye.
Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.